Joins me from, I believe, Cornwall, is it these days, Mary?
Yes, it is. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Now, the reason I've got Mary on the line, if you've read the Romford Recorder recently, perhaps a week or two ago, the Friday 19th November edition of that, there's a big piece there about a book that Mary Haywood has written. Now, Mary wrote a book following the, well, a long time after, to be fair, but after a death of a friend in Emerson Park, and had a lifelong effect on Mary, and she's died. Decided to put down her thoughts in writing and relive her life, quite amazing life, in this book, which is now available. Tell us a little bit, Mary, about the name of the book and why you decided to write a book when, I guess, you know, we're talking about events here that happened 32 years ago.
Yes, that's correct. Well, I decided to write the book. I was inspired by the memories of the tragic suicide of my best friend Joyce, which took place on my 30th birthday. It all happened because of a chance email. It was Christmas Eve at 2004, and after a near-death car accident in Florida, there was a message on Friends Reunited from Joyce's brother, Tim. He was trying to trace the whereabouts of Joyce's little boy, Peter. I never saw it at the time, and it was 4 years before I stumbled across the email, and then I phoned him, and the conversation triggered the memories. And
now, just so people are clear, and maybe people who haven't read the Romford Recorder, Peter is the son of your best friend Joyce, and Joyce is the girl, yes, who tragically died back in 1978. She took her life in Woodlands Avenue, didn't she? Woodlands Avenue in Emerson Park is where she was at the time.
She did. She stole a rifle, a target rifle, and shot herself in the chest.
And this is really because she felt that her life had no meaning, that things were going so badly wrong. Her son had was taken away from her by her husband, I believe, who was divorcing or leaving her at the time. But as it turned out, I mean, that may be part of the reason, but a lot of the reason also seemed to be that she looked up to you as her best childhood friend. You'd been together, I think, since the age of 14, did lots of things together, played and grew up together in all sorts of adversity, and she felt that, you know, life was going right for you but wasn't for her, when in fact that actually wasn't really the case anyway, was it?
It wasn't the case, and I didn't realise she looked up to me, but you know, by her hospital bed, you know, I visited her for 3 weeks every day, and I asked her again why she did it, and she, unfortunately, she did turn around and say to me that I'd done everything right, and she said everything really right, in that I'd got engaged, got married, had a child, and then got my house, all correct, and she'd done it the other way round, and if it hadn't worked out for me, what hope was there for her, because I came back to Romford. We always seem to migrate back to Romford together. And at that time, my marriage was falling apart. And when we reunited and met, I just told her that. I said, you know, my marriage is falling apart, and we were having a drink and some fun. And the next day, she'd held this party for my 30th birthday, and we were only a few weeks apart in our ages. And in the early hours of the morning, she shot herself. She'd stolen the rifle from the party.
She didn't die immediately. It was probably awful as well. She went off to the Harold Wood Hospital, I think, she was taken.
That's correct.
And she was there for weeks, wasn't she?
3 weeks. And we all thought she was going to live. And then I went in one evening to visit her, and I was 10 minutes late, and she died.
Very, very tragic. So that was the background, and obviously your lot of life since then, and you're now reflecting. But I guess inspired by the fact that this obviously strong emotional major event in your life. But let's just turn the clock back a little bit before that, because obviously you grew up together as real friends. As I already mentioned, but life in those days, in sort of certainly early 60s, was amazingly different. I mean, I was born in 1960, so I can't really remember the early 60s.
Right.
But from what you've said and what I've read, and I know you've got a website now as well with some...
Which is a lot about that in the book, for, you know, being why it's called Invisible Child. I am that child who kept myself under the radar from the social services because I was in the belief from my parents that we would all be split up if I... read the word of it, of the starvation.
And life was really tough, yeah, not having enough food to eat, not having the
right
clothes. And I guess, in a way, that made you closer then, didn't it, to Joyce as your real friend, more so than clearly your parents?
Because it did. We had a very, very, very special bond. Hers, hers wasn't so much the starvation. Hers was a different troubled life. Hers was, where was your mum? Her mum was not there. And so she was, given the money for the food, but she was looking after the family as the mother. And so she had her secrets and I had mine. And we never asked each other about them. And we just kind of knew it was very, very bad for each other. And we looked out for each other all through school. And I've contacted some of my friends now, and they've said to me that they always knew something was wrong, but they never asked.
Right.
People just didn't ask.
And clearly there was something tragically wrong in your friend Joyce's mind, hence the reason she ended shooting herself in Emerson Park back in October 1978.
Amongst all that, you've got a time when you had, Vespers, Lambrettas, Rolling Stones, and everything going on.
Yeah, big social changes. So obviously now, many decades have passed since this event, but you're obviously reliving some of that. You're telling it now in this book you've put together called Invisible Child. Now, tell us just a bit about the book. And for some people might think, oh, goodness me, I'm a book all sort of inspired by a suicide. That's all going to be very depressing and deep. But give us some of the positive aspects. Why have you done it? How have you felt by doing it? And what do you think people will take from the book if they go and buy the book, which I know is available in our local W.H. Smith and the Liberty Shopping Centre as well.
It is, yeah. And it's on Amazon and all online bookshops. But for me, it triggered me to write here. And I did it because, as I say, I wanted to do it for Joyce, to show her that I carried on the plan. We had a plan to get out of our poverty. And I carried that on. And in the end, I did it because I found, once I got divorced and the tragicness of Joyce, really, I went through a kind of wilderness and not making good decisions. But out of all that, tragedy, I found, is not misery. It's not about poor me, this book. It's about being positive and learning to adapt. I've been through hell and back, but the book is about winning against all odds, and it's really, really inspiring, and it's a very, very pacey book. And at the end, it's a powerful romantic love story, because although I went through a couple more marriages, the last marriage I found was absolutely, a love that you never think you can ever find. People think you never find in life, and I found it.
So that's nice. So there is a positive feeling coming.
There's
from
an absolutely positive thing, and all the way through the book, there's lots of fun that Joyce and I did have, even though there's tragedy. There's lots of fun, and there's lots of, because I've trained to be a counsellor in life and worked with adults and young children, so I turned my life into a very positive strokes and was able to help a lot of young children through life. And the messages in the book are out there for people that today have got relationship problems, or in fact are facing other problems, and there's lots of things in there that give inspiration people to be able to.
Thank you very much, Mary. It sounds amazing story. I was certainly intrigued by the stuff that you had on your website, some extracts from the book. So the book, again, is called Invisible Child. It's co-written with Mary's husband, Mike. It is available from Amazon, W.H. Smith and other high street bookshops, and it's particularly available in the W.H. Smith branch, our local one here in the Liberty Shopping Centre in Romford. It's called Invisible Child by Mary Haywood. If you want to read that, I suggest you do. I think it'll be a very inspiring, interesting read. Mary, I wish you all the best and all the best with the book. And thanks very much for coming on Time 107.5 and telling us all about it.
Thank you very much indeed.
You take care now.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Working with you in the community.